the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our friend Lindsay Williams, who's going to be sharing with you some of the things he's learned from a gentleman he met when he was working on the Alaska pipeline between 1974 and 1977. I know who this gentleman is. I've personally talked to him myself. And certainly he is a legitimate individual. Lindsay is not going to use his name because, of course, certainly putting this information out would certainly not be advisable from this gentleman's point of view. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a very uncertain world. And as you know, a number of the people that I have interviewed through the years have either disappeared or certainly died under mysterious circumstances. This is not accidental. Bringing out the truth sometimes can be a very dangerous thing. Why I'm still doing it, I really believe the prayers of people across the country are protecting me, and I really appreciate those who do pray regularly for us, and I hope you'll pray for Lindsay as well, for his safety. Lindsay, why don't you bring us up to date with what's going on and the latest information that you have, that you've gotten from your friend. Now, he certainly has some connections with the people at the very top. I don't know whether as good as the Ken Fromm. Ken Fromm, of course, had been head of ARCO when when he retired, and he had connections at the very highest levels of what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. But go right ahead, Lindsay. Let's bring us up to date with you, what you've been able to learn about what's going to happen in the not-too-distant future.
It is always so good, Dr. Stan, to hear you say that you actually talked with this individual a number of years ago, and it had to have been the providence of God that you asked me at that particular time so that he would talk, because he won't even talk anymore, but gives me information. And just after the election, I called the very gentleman that you were just talking about, and I asked him the question, what can we expect over the next 4 years? The information that was given to me was so startling that the only way I know to put it is the most startling thing that anyone has heard since the founding of the United States of America. And the more I think about it, the more I don't hesitate to make such an unusual statement. But when you hear the points, you'll understand. I was given 10 agendas that the American people will face over the next 4 years. I was so startled myself personally that, as you know, for numbers of weeks, I wouldn't even talk about it. You and I even talked, and I said, until I can record this, I'm afraid to even give it out. It took 3 hours and 29 minutes just for me to explain the information that I'd been given. Now, I want to give those points tonight. Each one out there in your audience, you have a pencil and paper. I'd like you to jot down these things. Some of them are encouraging, believe it or not. You know, everything that the elite do is not necessarily to our disadvantage. Some of these things are very much to our advantage. If you know what the things are that they have planned, then you can go plan your life accordingly and your family accordingly so that it's not necessarily difficult. So, yes. Dr. Stan, I hear the music.
Okay, well, we're going to a break here, so, but anyway, of course, we'll try to get all of this information to you. And I think it's important, ladies and gentlemen, that we understand that the world is on the verge, I think, of some dramatic changes. I think the America that we've known is no longer exists and will never come back again, at least not during my lifetime. But our job is to survive during the coming time and understand the spiritual forces at work. Lindsay, go right ahead.
10 agendas that I was given by my elite friend that will take place in the next 4 years during this administration. The first one, the elite do not want a financial collapse yet. I know this is very unusual to hear someone say this when nearly all the financial newsletters have been saying for months, going to be a collapse, going to be a collapse, going over the physical cliff, all this sort of thing. Scare tactics galore, has the whole country upset, and everyone wondering what's going to take place. Let me assure you, the elite do not, and you did hear me say the word not, they do not want a collapse yet. Now, there's more to it than just that. That's one of the agendas. They don't want a collapse right now. It is going to take place. Believe me, it will happen. It's not that it will never take place. It will take place. But it's not going to take place in the next month or two. It probably won't take place within the next 2 years. You are hearing me. I'm sticking my neck way out tonight. Based on the information I have been given, you probably are talking 2 years, 3 years, but somewhere within this four-year period, there is going to be a catastrophic event relating to the currency of the United States of America. They have not told me what that event will be. I did not say a bank closure, even though that may be it. I didn't say a bank holiday, but that may be it. I don't know what it'll be. But they don't want it yet. And the reason is, and this is agenda number two, you need to write down the first word. The elite are going to, over the next 4 years, force debt creation. Please catch that first word. Not just debt creation. Now, they've been creating debt for years. The housing bubble and collapse was debt creation. Our national debt, $16 trillion of national debt plus. Now, you haven't seen any debt yet. No, believe me. What's going to take place over the next 4 years, what has happened in the past is a Sunday school picnic compared to what's going to happen in the future. And you as an individual, everyone listening to this program tonight, you must guard against what they are about to do. Forced. Not just regular debt creation. Now, they created debt over in Europe. You know what happened in Greece and France and Spain and the other countries over there. I'm talking about forced debt creation. Let me try to explain very quickly a number of these so that you'll understand what has happened and what is going to happen.
Hold that thought, Lindsay. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lindsay is certainly giving 10 items that he was been told by our mutual friend. And the first one was, of course, that the elite does not want a debt collapse. It does not want a financial collapse at this time. That doesn't mean that one isn't going to occur or they're not going to precipitate it, but it's not going to happen within a matter of months, and it may be several couple of years, but sometime probably within the next 4 years, 2 to 4 years, why there will be certainly a monetary collapse, but not right now. Of course, from my point of view, I know that they certainly want to use the financial and military power of the United States to consolidate their control of the world. Of course, it's very obvious that they are using America's financial and military power. So Lindsay feels, and I do as well, that at least as far as the elite is concerned. Now, remember, there are other forces in the world besides the elite, and that, of course, are the dark spiritual forces working behind the scenes. But at least the elite, these people of great wealth, want, of course, continue using America's military and financial power as they topple existing governments and install their rulers. Incidentally, Mr. Morsi, he's, of course, the current dictator in Egypt that we installed. Do you know where he went to school? He went to school at USC in Southern California. Yes, sir, an American-trained Egyptian has just become and tried to declare himself the dictatorship. Dictator in Egypt, we installed him. Of course, the people are very unhappy whether he'll have to back off and maybe even give him a full little freedoms for the time being. Oh, but here's a man, American-trained Egyptian, trained at USC. Why doesn't anybody ever talk about the fact that we installed a man who was trained at one of our universities? Well, the second point was that there will be forced debt creation. And basically, as you know, why, of course, when George W. Bush became president of the United States, the federal debt was about $5.7 trillion. When George W. Bush left the White House after 8 years, the federal debt was $10.7 trillion. The federal debt today is $16.3 trillion, and that is less than 4 years of Barack Hussein Obama in the White House. So basically, of course, they are intentionally creating debt in America, over in Europe, all throughout the world, in China. And debt, of course, is a means of destroying civilization. Go right ahead, Lindsay.
Forced debt creation. I hope you're catching that first word. Let me try to explain. Many years ago, back in the 50s, I guess it was, the first credit card in the United States of America was American Express. MasterCard, Visa, the other cards had never even been invented yet. And when they came out, I was doing a lot of traveling. In fact, I had my own aircraft at the time, was flying for missionaries, and I got an American Express credit card. Well, here, what, a year or so ago, they said, American Express, you can't do this anymore. You're the only one out there that's different. You must become a bank. They forced American Express, the credit card of many, many years, to become a bank so that they could be controlled by the Federal Reserve. I'll give you another example of forced debt creation. The students, the average young person graduating from high school today, they have convinced them that the only way they can go to college is to get a college loan from the federal government. Now, when I went to college many, many years ago, believe me, I worked my own way through college. I bagged groceries. I worked for Avis driving automobiles. And I paid my entire college for years enough to get a bachelor's degree. Today, students think, well, the only thing they can do is go to the government. This mindset that they have put them in is a form of forced debt creation, and when they get out of college, and then they can't find a job. The jobs have been moved to China and India and Mexico, and try to find a job in America, anything besides flipping burgers. So, the next, let me give you an example. You're hearing right now, physical cliff. Oh my goodness, I get so sick and tired of hearing this physical cliff thing. I don't know what to do when I talk with my elite friend, and I hear what the physical cliff is really about. It's kind of a laughing stock. It is nothing but a hype, a psych, some way to get you to believe that something is so in order that they can do something else. It's a distraction. It's one glorious method of mentally programming the individual for what they want. Physical cliff is a part, please catch this, people, it is a part of debt creation which they wish to do. And this brings me to my third agenda of the elite. Who is going to hurt most by the physical cliff? The rich? Who are going to have to pay? Not on your life. Do you realize that the rich have stored their wealth away in the Cayman Islands? They've put it in Liechtenstein. They've put it in Switzerland. They've put it all over the world. These people aren't going to be destroyed by taxes. You know who is going to be destroyed by taxes? The physical cliff is nothing but a hype in order to do what they want to do for the middle class. And I have a prediction. You can watch it as my elite friend has expressed it to me. The middle class in the United States of America is literally going to be taxed into oblivion. Are you catching this? Not the rich. Oh, yeah. The rich will pay a little bit. But the middle class are the ones that will hurt most. Let me suggest a few things that are in the wind behind the stage, back there where you don't hear it. All you're hearing is physical cliff, and they're scaring the daylights out of you in order to get you ready for what they plan to do to you. You might have something called a marginal minimum tax. They may call it a national sales tax. You already have one new tax that's out there that's inevitable. And this one you can believe in, along with the others that are going to come shortly after this physical cliff. Obamacare, they realized that they could not get you to pay for a premium because it was unconstitutional, and the states wouldn't go along with it at all. Now, when you buy life insurance or you buy hospitalization insurance, what do you pay? You pay a premium. Obamacare, is it a premium? Not on your life. It's a tax. Are you beginning to get the message? Forced. You have no choice. Either that or you go to jail or you're being fined. Obamacare is a form of what I have just been told that you will see over the next years many instances of, and that is forced debt creation. Now, watch what happened 2 days ago. Walmart, the largest employer, retail sales employer in the United States of America, and they said, okay, if you're going to force us into Obamacare and we've got to pay this tax, they said, and in Obamacare, it states that if a person works 29 hours or less in a given week, that the employer doesn't have to pay Obamacare. So Walmart came out 2 days ago. I was dumbfounded. And they said, all right, nobody but the executive personnel or the top people in Walmart, everybody else, we're going to put them on less than 30 hours per week. Unless you are management personnel at Walmart, you have just begun working less than 30 hours a week. Tell me anybody that can afford an apartment or make a house payment and an automobile and put the gas in that gas tank for less than 30 hours a week at Walmart pay. The same thing's going to happen to all of the fast food restaurants. And every bit of it is intentionally planned. I mean, this has been discussed behind closed doors. My elite friend knew it. The middle class is going to be taxed into oblivion. You've got numerous taxes after they get through talking about what they're going to do to the rich. They're going to literally do it to you. Then you've got Obamacare coming up. Then you've got debt creation of every kind imaginable. Did you realize that even the post office now has decided to do, 2 days ago I had a person to call in and say, we work for the post office. I was on a talk show and they said, the post office has just announced, I haven't heard it in the news yet, but they said the post office just announced, they said the message was just given to us, that the lesser employees who haven't been with the post office very long, they're going to cut them back to less than 30 hours per week. And the U.S. post office is the second largest employer in America apart from Walmart. And who is it that is going to hurt? The middle class is the one that's going to be affected by the forced debt creation. Now,
Lindsay, I'd just like to put in here, starting the 1st of January, 26 million Americans are going to start paying the alternative minimum tax. Now, the alternative minimum tax was sold to the American people as this was to be a tax on the rich. You know, the rich are not paying their fair share, and, oh, we've got to tax the rich. They've got to pay their fair share, so if they're not paying enough, they have a lot of deductions and so we're going to come up with an alternative tax so that certainly if they're not paying their fair share, the rich are not paying that what they should be paying, well, they're going to have to pay an alternative minimum tax. And basically, a lot of people went along with that. Oh, let's tax the rich. Well, what they did, they forgot to index that for inflation. And basically, as you know, there's been a planned program of inflation. They've destroyed the value of the 1913 dollar. The dollar today is worth about 4 cents of what it was back in 1913. I should say the dollar at that time would be worth so much more today. They've destroyed 96% of the value of our currency. Well, the alternative minimum tax went in about 1980, and they've destroyed two-thirds of the value of our currency since then. So now 26 million people are going to start paying an alternative minimum tax. People who thought it was all for the wealthy. Ladies and gentlemen, the wealthy are not going to be paying more taxes. They're going to find a way around it one way or the other. This whole idea of taxing the rich is to get the suckers to go along to support our courageous leaders who want to get the money from the rich. What it's going to do is eventually get down to the middle class. They want to wipe out the middle class. I think this is what Lindsay's saying. And there's no question. Whenever you hear these people talking about taxing the rich, understand they really want to raise your taxes. They want to take away your deductions. They want to take away your housing deduction, interest on your home. Perhaps a great deal of your charitable donations. They know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know the whole idea. Destroy the middle class. We'll be right back with Lindsay Williams. Lindsay, you go right ahead.
In 2009, I was on the telephone with my elite friend, and Dr. Stan, you know who he was back in those days before he passed away. And he made a statement that at the time I could not even begin to fathom what he was talking about. He said, and I said it on your program, Dr. Stan, so it's in the archives. He said, there's coming a time that you will be so broke, you will not be able to do anything about it. Now, I couldn't understand it then because America was in a great boom. The housing bust had not taken place yet. We were in great shape. He knew exactly. He saw, according to what he had heard behind closed doors, exactly what was going to happen. Now, I want to give you a formula. Yep. You are hearing me correctly. I want to give you a formula right now. I hope you have those pencils and paper handy, because you can figure out yourself how long you, as the head of a household or the household, how long before you will be in a position where you will be so broke you will not be able to do anything about it. You ready? Here goes. We're down 3%. On September the 13th of 2012, Mr. Bernanke of the Federal Reserve said, we're going to take $40 billion every month and buy mortgage-backed securities from this month on, every month, indefinitely, automatically, as of the time that they pulled that first $40 billion out of thin air and bought mortgage-backed securities, the American dollar lost 3% of its purchasing power. Now, put down 3%. 3% per month, every month, as long as the Federal Reserve does that, and Mr. Bernanke just announced 2 or 3 days ago that they're going to continue it. Secondly, put down the word taxes. Now, Dr. Stan has just mentioned the alternative minimum tax. Then you've got the Obamacare tax. I think also as a result, what I'm hearing from my elite friend, that because of the physical cliff, there's going to be another tax you haven't even heard about yet. Now, put down taxes. Then put down Obamacare tax. Beginning approximately 12 months from now, you're going to have this tax done. Then, last time you went to the grocery store, where food prices going up, yes, pretty much at a regular basis. Tack on that percentage of what you think food prices are going up. Then consider the fact that unless you are a management personnel, you're going to be cut back to 30 hours per week. All right, you ready? Let's add them up. You can take your calculator and figure it. 3%. The new tax that will be added on you, plus, as Dr. Stan just mentioned, then you've got Obamacare, then you've got food prices, then you've got the possibility of 30 hours a week. How long will it be? Now, please, you calculate this right there in your house. How long will it be before you can't afford to put food on the table, clothes on the back of the family, gas in the gas tank, pay the bills, and make your house mortgage payment at the same time? And when those children are crying because they're hungry, what is the one thing you're going to leave off? You can't leave off the gas in that gas tank because you have to go to work. You must put clothes on the back of that family or they'll freeze to death in the winter time. You must put food on that table. What are you going to leave off? You are going to leave off paying the house mortgage payment, and that is exactly what they want. Are you catching this? Forced debt creation in order to bring about a new world order because they have depleted the purchasing power of the dollar to the point that you no longer can do everything you have to do and still pay the mortgage payment on the house. They come, after all, the Federal Reserve now has already bought the mortgage on your house. And that
hold that thought, Lindsay. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lindsay simply is saying that what they're going to do is wipe out the middle class, and basically, with the Obama tax, they're going to have to start paying that. And then, of course, we'll have the other taxes. We're going to have, certainly, inflation, the inflation rates running 7 to 9%. And then, of course, you're not going to be, or a lot of people are not going to be working full-time. They're going to be working less than 30 hours a week. And basically, all of this is going to be progressively simply taking the money that people need just to live on, and probably many people are going to be in a position where they're not going to be able to make the monthly payments on their house. And as a result of that, more and more people are going to lose their homes. Will that be a fair appraisal, Lindsay?
Yes, and this is what they want. It's been planned behind closed doors. In fact, the gentleman in 2009, when he said, made the statement to me, he said, you will be so broke you won't be able to do anything about it. You realize that they want you so broke that you can't afford to buy the airline ticket to go to that next meeting that they want to have to protest what the elite is doing right now. If things continue, this is what they have planned, and it's all a part. Now, let me make the next prediction based on what I'm seeing out there and what I'm hearing from my elite friend. The debt limit will be suspended.
Now, basically, what number will that be?
That will be number 1, 2, 3, 4, number 5.
Number 5, the debt limit will be suspended. So they can just keep increasing the debt as much as they want to.
As high as they'd like to make it go. They will just have a glorious time spending everybody else's money in a way that none of us have ever imagined that it could take place in America. You think you have a $16 trillion debt today. You haven't seen anything whenever they are given a free stroke of a pen to be able to do anything they want to do. And all of this is geared to one end goal.
And
please.
But basically this will result in basically you have to pay interest on your national debt. So basically pretty soon as the debt goes up higher to $20 trillion, to $25 trillion, to $30 to $40 trillion, pretty soon all the money that the government gets in has to be used to pay the interest on the national debt. And there's no money for Social Security, and there's no money for Medicare, and there's no money for food stamps. This is how you destroy a nation. And it would appear that's exactly what they want. Is it, Lindsay?
That's exactly what they want, and it happened last week. Yes, you heard me correctly. Last week you saw the next agenda take place. The dollar. You remember when I began tonight, I said the elite do not want to collapse yet, people. Your dollar still has a little purchasing power. And everything in this world that you can afford to do, you need to do it right now, immediately. In fact, you know, I make DVDs from time to time. We bought a whole professional camera outfit. We're doing everything we can to make ourselves sufficient, self-sufficient out of this system. Now, here comes the next agenda. The dollar will be phased out. Not yet, but the forced debt creation, all of these other things, the effect on the middle class, the devaluation formula I've given you, you can figure how long your household can survive with using this debt formula. Now, the dollar will be paid out. It happened last week. It was on the national news that our president had gone to Asia. You heard it? Oh, big news. He was taking his old entourage, and they were going over to the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, and 15 Asian nations were meeting. And he was going, oh, they made it a big deal for a number of days on the liberal media. And you didn't hear a word when he got back, did you? Isn't it amazing? Not one single media said anything about what the president accomplished in Asia. Why? He didn't accomplish anything. Let me tell you what happened. 15 Asian nations met. Now, please notice the immensity of this thing. These 15 Asian nations comprised one half of the world's population. They called it the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. And when our president got there, he said, we would like the United States of America to be a part of this. Why didn't you hear one peep out of the liberal media when he got back? They told him, go home, Mr. Obama. We don't want you. You're not even welcome at this summit. get back on your 747 airplane and get back to America. And they thumbed their nose at America and completely left us out of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. This happened last week. And when we come back after this break, I'll tell you exactly what did take place.
And ladies and gentlemen, people don't understand you're talking about China and India and Singapore and Hong Kong and Japan and South Korea and Malaysia. And these people do not want, certainly, our influence over there. They want to develop their own economy independent of ours. And basically, they're not going to put up with America telling them what to do. We're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen. America is beginning to lose its influence throughout the world, and things are going to get a lot worse.
While the storm clouds gather, far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Lindsay, go right ahead.
$3 billion. You heard me correctly. $3 billion. Asians said, Mr. Obama, you get back on your airplane and go straight home. And he was so embarrassed. And who did it include? South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, 33 billion Asians along with Japan and China and 15 Asian nations. And they sent him home with his tail between his legs. And he came back and the national media said not one word. Now, take one half of the world's population, please, you hear this carefully. One half of the world's population, as of last week, will no longer be using the American dollar as a reserve currency of the world or as the petrodollar, and the Chinese currency is going to be used in its place. What will happen to the American dollar? You say, Chaplain Williams, we heard you say that the American dollar was going to be dead by the end of the year. Well, folks, the American dollar is not going to be dead by the end of the year. The American dollar is already dead, and we've still got 3 days or 3 weeks left in the year yet. Did you know what happened with the BRICS agreement back in April the 5th of 2012 when Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa formed their group representing 43% of the world's population, 18% of the world's GDP, and 53% of the world's global financial capital, and they said we aren't going to use the American dollar any longer now. This point, the agenda that I just gave you, can you see it? The dollar will be phased out over these 4 years of period so that the new world order can bring in their new world currency. You say, Chaplain Williams, is this encouraging? You better believe it is, because some of you out there still have some money that's stashed between the mattress or in the bank, and you've not used it yet. It still has purchasing power, and while it does, you use it. You buy those tangibles. Don't buy anything that you can't afford. Don't dare go into debt under any circumstances. But if you will understand what the elite are doing, you can be like many people in 1929 through 1933 who knew the Great Depression was coming. They got their finances in
order. Hold that thought, Lindsay. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment here. And of course, Lindsay's making the point that out of this Southeast Asia conference that they had, certainly almost countries representing close to half of the population of the world have said, we don't want to use the American dollar as the reserve currency of the world. And these countries are going to begin using their own currencies. There are going to be individual trade agreements between them. And Lindsay's point is that the dollar is already dead as the international means of exchange. Oh, it may be around nominally for a while, but it's certainly going to be destroyed and going to be replaced. And the difficulty is there's so many trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars out there that countries are holding, certainly as their reserve currencies. And once people begin to lose confidence, and believe me, they've already lost confidence in the American dollar, once they begin to dump those dollars because they've lost suddenly lost confidence in them, those dollars are going to flood suddenly into our economy and going to be disastrous. Right now, our corporations are sitting on about $1.73 trillion. They're just not investing it. Our major banks are sitting on a couple of trillion dollars. They're not lending it out. They're holding it back. The only reason we don't have rampant inflation now is because the corporations are sitting on the money. They're part and parcel of what I call the brotherhood. The six major banks that control 70% of the financial assets of the United States are sitting on their money. They're lending it out. And because of that, we do not have rampant inflation. But when these countries throughout the world begin dumping those dollars into the market, well, that is the point where the whole house of cards comes down. And the vast majority of the American people who are in pensions, in annuities, in insurance policies, in bonds, and in anything that is mediated in dollars. At that point, of course, why, it's sayonara, you lose everything. And the average American has no idea what's coming down the line because they don't understand finance. Go right ahead, Lindsay. But before we do, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and get your material.
Dr. Stan, after I heard these agendas just after the election, I was so startled. We went in studio, and it took me 3 hours and 29 minutes on DVD. And this time, you've never seen anything so professionally done as we did. We actually had a studio in New York who does material for the national networks to produce this for us. And we've never done anything like this before. It cost a lot, but we did. We have one DVD series entitled The Next 4 Years. And when I got through with it, I couldn't stop. I said, wait a minute. I can't leave the American people here. I went back in studio with two of the most prominent financial professionals in America. You'll see them. And one of them is a Wall Street insider. And we went before camera, and we produced the DVD in which there is nothing but solutions. Did you hear this? We do not talk about any of the doom and gloom. We do not mention anything. I've already told the problems in the first DVD series of over 3 hours. The second DVD series is 2 hours and 50 minutes of nothing but solutions given by two of the top financial people of America. I give some solutions. There are two DVD series here. You have you've got right at 6 hours of DVD viewing, both telling the agendas. Please give a call to our number. We just released them, by the way, this on Wednesday. They'll be shipped out, the first ones this coming week. Please give a call to our toll-free number. Toll-free number is 888-799-6111, and we do have the operator standing by 24 hours a day because of this new release, or go on the web to prophecyclub.com, prophecyclub.com, or toll-free 1-888-799-6111. I need to go fast. I must get in some more things here. I want you to notice three factions that my elite have told me are out there right now that are so important. Number one, this would be about the 7th or 8th agenda. There is the old-fashioned elite, the ones that you have now known about for years. Secondly, they have now in the White House a president who double-crossed the elite numerous times in his first administration. Didn't let the pipeline go across Canada, put in the Dodd-Frank bill, which they didn't want. He also would not open up public lands for exploration for oil. They know that this man is out of control. He is like a bull in a china shop. Even the elite are very concerned about Obama since he's gotten back in. Then thirdly, you have a new renegade elite. You're catching this. You haven't heard this anywhere. I just got it the other day. The elite are calling it a renegade elite. That's the exact word they used for me, renegade elite. What are they? It's like this Phnom Penh group that I mentioned a moment ago, and like the BRICS group, they are bucking what the New World Order is doing, and it is concerning the elite. As a result, you have three factions, and who is caught in the middle of the fist fight that's going on between these factions? You, as a middle class of America, are caught right in the middle of that barroom fight between the elite, Mr. Obama, and the renegade elite, and you're the ones that will hurt most. Please, I must go fast.
Would you mind just going over what is the renegade elite again?
The renegade elite is like this Phnom Penh group, which includes one half of the world's population, and they're going to use Chinese currency instead of the reserve currency of the world or the petrodollar any longer. Or it's like the BRICS group that formed, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and likewise said we would not use the American dollar any longer. And the expression that was given to me is renegade elite is the exact words they used, and it's got the elite very concerned. Okay, I need to give you another one here. Right now, 38% of the people in the United States of America receive some sort of money from the government every month, whether it be Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, whether it be food stamps, welfare, or maybe you work for the government, you get a paycheck for your work, or you have maybe a retirement fund. 38% of every American receives some sort of remuneration. I won't give you a figure. Mark my words, put it down beside your calendar. By the end of 4 years, and there is an agenda to put 70% of every person in the United States of America on some sort of remuneration from the federal government. I have a prediction based on what my elite friend told me. There will never be another honest election in the United States of America. Did you catch that? Why? Because whoever signs that paycheck, the 70% of the Americans who are getting something in the way of a remuneration from the government every month, they will vote for the person who signs that paycheck. We have just had our last honest election if the elite and Mr. Obama have their way. Now,
I'm not so sure, Lindsay. I'm not so sure this was an honest election because, as you and I both know, certainly many people within the Trilateral Commission didn't want Obama elected. You certainly thought that he was going to lose, and I really thought he was going to lose because I read what Mortimer Zuckerman, member of the Trilateral Commission, member of the CFR, certainly the publisher of a U.S. News and World Report, reading what he had said. He had backed Obama 4 years ago, and he was markedly against Obama, and certainly he, I think, represents the Trilateral Commission. They didn't want Obama elected. Obama did get elected, and I don't think he was honestly elected at all. I think it was a rigged election. It doesn't matter how people vote. It's who counts the votes. It's important, and that's what really happened. I think that the elite is very unhappy with Mr. Obama right now. In fact, if I were him, I certainly would never take a trip to Dallas. In fact, I honestly do not believe he's going to last for 4 years, but you go right ahead.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, Dr. Stan. I wouldn't dare say it on somebody else's program, but you can. You know, the elite, they think they're God, but they really aren't. They don't always get their way. And you're right. From the gentleman whom you know that you talk with, I have never heard him so angry as when he's talking about the elite right now. Okay, let me give you gold prices. Only got a moment or two. I got to think, got to go through one, two or more of these. Gold prices, 2008, when Mr. Obama took office, it was, for the first time, they were $800 an ounce. This is history. This is fact. 2012, they're $1,700 and a few dollars over this morning. 2016, I told you back 3-4 years ago, it's in Dr. Stan's archives, that my elite friend had told me that the currency of the elite is gold and silver, not paper. They only have just enough paper that they can maintain their businesses, but their personal wealth is in gold, and most of it stored offshore. By 2016, I predict, based on what they have told me, that you will see gold prices $3,000 an ounce, and I am begging you again to please take advantage, because it can save the purchasing power of your household, because it's the only thing that will maintain value. Now, there's one expression many years ago that was given to me by Mr. Fromm. We were in a conversation one day, and he used an expression, whether he meant to or not, or whether he slipped or not, I'm not quite sure, but he used an expression, devil's messiah. And I've been a pastor for 57 years, either of a church or a missionary in Alaska, or out there on the radio, or wherever it may be, witnessing for the Lord. This really moves me and bothers me. The devil's messiah agenda for the next 4 years' time is very active. And who is it going to affect? You heard me say early in the program that there's going to be forced debt creation, and one of the factors that they are factoring into this are the churches of America. You have a mortgage on your church. Most churches do have a mortgage. you must get rid of it immediately. That church that has a mortgage on it, you are going to lose it. Why? It is a part of the devil's messiah program of the elite to repossess your church and tell your pastor what to preach. You remember that, please. Pastors, I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you as a pastor with a pastor's heart. You remember that I told you back years ago when this expression was first used to me that it was a buzzword expression. The elite themselves of the internal, they know what it is. And it was basically said to me, we must remove the God from America that made America great before we can bring it into the New World Order. I said they were going to move it from Congress. They were going to remove it from the Supreme Court. They had to take it out of the classroom. You don't hear Merry Christmas anymore. You hear Happy Holidays. Oh, my goodness, people, aren't you getting the message of what they're doing to you? They have destroyed the existence. They think that they have destroyed your ability to remember the God of George Washington and the God of our founders, who gave them, I believe, that great document, the Constitution of the United States of America. And they must remove every semblance of that God from society before they can bring in their New World Order. And in the next four-year period, one of the agendas of the elite is to make it so that your church members won't have enough money to give like they've been giving in the past. And when your church cannot make that mortgage payment, they intend to repossess that church building and tell your pastor what to preach. It is a part of the devil's messiah program of one of their agendas. The other day I was talking with a pastor that I love dearly. I'm not going to mention his name. I have great respect for him. And we were talking about what's going to happen because he realizes that the predictions the elite have made to me in the past have happened. And the first thing he said when we talked about the future, he said, well, Chaplain, what's going to happen to my pension? I said, Pastor, now listen, this is a prediction based on what I've heard. Any pastor that's 50 years of age or younger, you'll never get your pension. No. Your pension is into stocks and to bonds and paper. And you're not going to get your pension. They want your church also. And it is a part of the devil's messiah program to bring that in over these next 4 years' time. I am pleading with you. I beg of you. Pay off the mortgage on that church building at any price and don't build another building with a mortgage on it. If you do, the elite are going to own it. Do you want them to get it and all the money that your church people have put into it? If I was a pastor, I wouldn't. Okay, one more. Millions, I wish I didn't have to say this one. Millions of Muslims, it is scheduled to bring them into the United States of America. Now, this is not the elite's agenda. The elite have told me, I wish you could see the emails I've been getting recently from the gentleman you know, Dr. Stan. The elite know that Mr. Obama intend to do this, and so I'm telling you what they've told me, that Mr. Obama's agenda is to bring millions of Muslims into America and give them citizenship. Why do you think he's pushing this thing about illegal aliens coming in from the south and across the border and swimming the river? That's not the issue. He wants to make it so that in this second administration, he can bring in millions of Muslims, give them citizenship, and introduce Sharia law in the United States of America, and in so doing, nullify the Constitution of the United States of America. One more and I'll quit. You've got to be your own doctor. The Medicare system is going to be for the few, and you must learn how to take care of yourself. Dr. Stan, if the people out in the audience are your age and mine, they don't even want us around in the first place. But oftentimes the other medical care is going to be selective to those that they want it to go to. People, we have put up on LindsayWilliams.net, we have put up a special section of health only. I tell you everything you can do to take care of your cardiovascular disease. I'm not selling a product for me. I don't make anything off of this. I'm putting up there what I have found works, and you go to it if you'd like. You never have to have a heart attack. You never need a stroke. You never have to have a heart bypass. There is a way for you to, the number one killer in America is cardiovascular. Secondly, you must build that immune system. If your immune system is strong enough, it can overcome every known disease. We are going to be posting things in a special section in LindsayWilliams.net whereby you can be your own doctor, take care of yourself. when Obamacare comes in, you go to the emergency room and you wait for 24 hours because you can get service, because 40% of the medical professionals in America, as has just been told me by David Janda, who's a very prominent doctor, still practicing and spoke before Congress. He also has a daily radio broadcast every day, and he says 40% of the medical practitioners in America are going to quit when Obamacare comes in. And if you think that you're going to get medical service from that point on, you are sadly mistaken. You must be your own doctor in light of the agendas that they have planned. Dr. Stan, I've given to you only in a overview quickly 10 agendas of the elite in the next 4 years' time. We take 3 hours and 29 minutes to do it and explain it in detail. And Dr. Stan, thank you for allowing me the privilege to be here to say these things tonight.
Well, I think it's vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, to realize that the America we have known has been destroyed. It's been destroyed because the good people have allowed it to happen, but mainly because, of course, our churches have been infiltrated. They infiltrated the seminaries, and they gave the ministers an introduction to a different type of music. The wonderful old hymns that, of course, were the foundation of Christianity, we seldom sing them, or if we do, why we have all these rock and roll and the songs with a rhythm and you just almost want to dance. That's fine, but not in a church. And then they've changed the message of the church. We never talk about fear of God. We never talk about the fact that God brings his vengeance upon a nation that does evil things. We never find our ministers speaking out against the policy, the official government policy of torture. And certainly of the slaughter of people. That's why this fellow Manning, the homosexual, got into so much trouble and why they tortured him for 900 days. Because he told the truth about all the Iraqi civilians who were killed intentionally. Well, Lindsay, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What's the message you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Dr. Stan, I hope every listener in your audience will set their spiritual house in order. This is the most important thing you can possibly do. Don't lose sleep over this. The one thing that is an agenda, I told you back in the video that I did, 2012, the beginning of the end, that one of the agendas in 2012 was to instill fear. And if at all possible, they're going to do it through the physical cliff, through all the other things they're doing. Don't allow it to happen. If you will take action on what the elite have told me that you have heard about tonight, you can spare your house heartache. You can win. You don't have to suffer to the extent that the majority of the world is going to suffer. And the elite are doing all of this for the purpose of getting you and the entire country and the currency of this country to the point where you will be willing to beg for a new currency, to beg to give up your constitution in order to get the new world order's serenity, which will be a total control. The name of the game is control. All of this is planned, and they know exactly what they're doing. They cannot succeed. They must not win. I believe that there's a way around this. I don't know what it's going to be, but we need divine intervention, and we need to pray for it and ask the Lord for it. So in light of what you've heard tonight, first of all, realize you've still got some purchasing power in that dollar. Go and pay off that house mortgage. I'd rather live in a log cabin with a paid-for roof over my head than a $1 million mansion with a mortgage on it, knowing what's going to happen in the financial world and that the elite would someday take over that mortgage. You can win and be victorious if you will only take action, but you need to take this to heart. Don't just fluff it off. And it's not all doom and gloom. A lot of this is encouraging because if you know what they're doing to the middle class, for instance, you can right now begin doing something about, for instance, if you were a farmer and you wanted an alternative currency, what would you use? You would use the farm products. If you were a dairy owner, what would you use? You'd use your milk and your butter. You can figure out an alternative method of currency without using paper, which is going to be taxed to death. If you were a rancher, you could use the cattle. If you were a city person, you can use the gold and silver that you bought at $800 an ounce. There are so many ways that if you will have a mindset change, and this is the reason for our second DVD series.
Well, Linda, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Good night.
Bye-bye. Well, that was Lindsay Williams, and we hope you enjoyed the conversation with him. And certainly I want to tell you that as of the 1st of January, the federal government is going to withdraw pennies and nickels from circulation. Let me repeat that. As of the 1st of January, the federal government is going to start withdrawing pennies and nickels from circulation. You're just not going to be able to get them. They're going to pull them out and melt them on down because, of course, there's a 6 cents. Cost 6 cents to make a penny and 16 cents to make a nickel. They've destroyed the value of our currency, and this is part of the program of certainly impoverishing and enslaving the American people. Now, we actually have a DVD that Lindsay Williams did for us, going into the background of what's going on, the energy non-crisis, and you need, of course, to call us at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the DVD with Lindsay Williams. We have another, certainly, DVD with Ron Brown as a frequent guest here. He sells gold and silver coins, but he's talking about the bond market, and its relationship to the financial market. So you need to get Lindsay Williams' DVD and Ron Brown's DVD. And then a couple of talks we gave 5 or 6 years ago. One was the financial tsunami. The other is the financial Armageddon. And certainly you can get them with the syllabuses, and they will explain to you what is happening financially. Because if you don't make preparations right now, most people, of course, are going to be totally destroyed and totally impoverished here in the coming weeks and months and the next year or two as they destroy intentionally and purposely the value of our currency. Now, they're going to keep us going probably for another couple of years as they consolidate the control of the world. But you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, there are other forces at work. Certainly, there's China and India and Hong Kong and Singapore and Malaysia and Indonesia that have set up a separate bloc in competition with the United States, and they're going to be using a different currency. And then, of course, God has a plan, too, and certainly he can circumvent all of the plans of what we call the Brotherhood of Darkness. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I will tell you we're moving into another war, whether it's going to be a minor war over there in the Middle East, or is it going to be World War III? World War III is coming. There's no question World War III is coming, because we're toppling all of the existing governments over there and turning them over to the Muslim Brotherhood, which, of course, will impose governments under Sharia law. Why would we do that? To create the best enemy money could buy so you can have a war. Just exactly as American corporations financed Adolf Hitler and American banks financed Adolf Hitler. And fortunately, you can check all of these things on the Internet. Who was the major financier for Adolf Hitler? 10 American banks and then the Rothschilds and the Jewish bankers. Why would the Jewish bankers be blocking or be financing Adolf Hitler? Well, because, of course, these were labor Zionist Jews, and they hate Jews. They wanted, of course, to create a situation out of the horror of the Holocaust where the Jews would be willing to go to the Holy Land, and that's what it was all about. They didn't care how many Jews were killed, as long as there were enough left to begin to populate the Holy Land. That was their plan. And, of course, this was why they backed Adolf Hitler. If it hadn't been for the Holocaust, you think the Jews would have given up their comfortable lives in Europe? And, of course, the Nazis were financed by Brown Brothers Harriman. Brown Brothers Harriman, and, of course, on the board of that was a man named Prescott Bush. He was actually indicted following World War II for his financing of the enemy. And then there was another man named George Herbert Walker. For George Herbert Walker, Bush was named. You need to verify this, the book, America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus. America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus. You need to get it and read it, or hear our 4-CD set of my interviews with John Loftus entitled The War Against the Jews. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. You can go there, listen to our program. A lot of the DVDs we talk about, many of them are posted there. You can watch them. We'd like you to get them, but if you don't, just watch them, and then please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Orlean Kula, who is the president of the California chapter of the Eagle Forum. She's written a number of books on Agenda 21, on smart meters, but her latest book is on the new core curriculum that is being installed throughout the United States, indeed throughout the world, to indoctrinate American students and students throughout the world with a globalist philosophy, to dumb them down, to hold them back, to keep them from developing their minds properly, because of course these people have no desire for a highly educated intelligence and thinking public. They want a young group of people who basically will be subservient to the ruling elite who control the world. Orlean, thank you very much for being with us again.
Oh, very welcome. Thank you for having me, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't you pick up the story and tell our listeners how you came across this new educational system and what its impact is going to be on our children and our educational system?
All right. I happened to be in Utah for the month of July. We built a second home there up in the mountains in Heber City, and kind of like a vacation home. My son and his wife from Texas always go there in the summertime to escape the heat from Texas, so I come and can be with my grandchildren and my son and his wife. And while I was there, I ran into an old college roommate, and she's the one who told me about Common Core. They've organized a really good coalition to fight it in Utah, and it was amazing how nobody has heard anything about it. It's really been under the wire. They actually put this through in 2010. 46 governors from 46 states adopted it, but nobody knew anything about it. The federal government was able to do this by bypassing Congress, because Congress didn't need to approve the stimulus money that Obama already had, so he didn't have to go to Congress and say, you know, I want to put in a new education program and I need you to fund it. He already had the funding, so he bypassed Congress, went straight to the governors, and he did it when most of the legislative sessions were not being held. So the governors had a 2-month window of opportunity to decide if they were going to sign on to this or not. And
now, this is basically a total transformation of the means of education in America. Would that be a fair estimate?
Yes, definitely. This is really top-down, big government education, but they're trying to do it under the guise of pretending it's state standards. So they've called it Common Core State Standards Initiative. But the governors had nothing to do with preparing this or planning it or writing the curriculum. Neither did their school board members. However, they did have a few school board members that we're part of this consortium, they call it, from the states. And so if you talk to them, they'll say, oh, yes, we were there. We had some input. But other people who are real authorities say it was just like a suggestion box input.
Well, I think it's important that people understand that the federal government, if you believe in the Constitution, the federal government should not have any part in education. This is something that should be handled at the state level. So what the people at the national level have said was, well, we're not going to tell you what to do, but if you want this money we're going to offer you, you're going to have to change your curriculum and teach the way we want you to. We're not forcing you to do it. We're giving you money, and you're doing it voluntarily. Where do they get the money? They get money from us, ladies and gentlemen. This is why we've got to take the money away from the federal government, because you're using it to corrupt our society, and Barack Obama is doing that, knows exactly what he's doing, but the public doesn't.
That's correct.
Go right ahead, Arlene.
So the 46 governors signed on in hopes that they would be able to win this money. It was a competition basis, and they thought it was kind of a badge of honor if they did win. Only 11 governors actually won any of this stimulus money. And when you divide $4.35 billion among those 11 governors, maybe they got $400 million, $600 million, but that was not enough to really implement this program.
So basically the states are going to have to put a lot of money into it, and if the states signed up for it, even if they didn't win the money, they still had to implement this disastrous program aimed at changing the entire core of our curriculum. Would that be correct?
Very much so. And, for example, here in California, we have to pay $1.6 billion to implement this. And why is it so expensive? All of the students are going to be using computers for learning. This is going to be e-book learning. They won't have textbooks anymore. And it costs a lot of money to bring in a computer for each individual student. They're mainly their, you know, laptops, so they can take them home and use them for their homework at home. But some of the districts, and that's what they also find out, that it's the districts that have to come up with the money. It's just not handed to them by their state. So the districts have to do these creative ways of finding ways to pay for the computers, and many of them are going to huge computer companies and asking for donations.
Well, are the huge computer companies coming up with the money to provide the free computers? How could they do that?
Well, some computer companies like Bill Gates, of course, he's the one that has been behind this from the get-go. He donated $100 million towards Common Core because, of course, he hopes to benefit with Microsoft computers coming into schools. And even if it's not Microsoft, he seems to have his hands in computer companies, no matter what the make is, so he will benefit from it. And maybe they will donate some computers just for a show of good faith. But other districts are going to pass bonds. Who knows if what we did here in California, passing Proposition 30 that raises our sales tax and taxes for education, supposedly, maybe some of that is going towards this whole Common Core endeavor.
Of course, a lot of that money is going to have to go to pensions. It's not going to go to improve the education of the students. That's not the goal. The goal was to get the money from the people of the state of California, because our teachers' pension funds are bankrupt, and they can't tell us that's where the money's really going. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Arlene Kula, and of course, Arlene's a friend of ours. She's certainly a very prolific writer, and we'll tell you about the books she's written. But she is the president of the Eagle Forum chapter here in the state of California. And Arlene has simply written a new book about the new core curriculum. The book is called Common Core. Common Core. It's a Common Core curriculum that is going to be used all throughout the world. Now, they're not going to tell you that. Oh, no, this guy just states, oh, we just want to make the teaching better. Ladies and gentlemen, basically, these programs are international programs. They want to control all of the children and destroy their very souls. And when you understand that, it really makes sense. Go right ahead. The title of your book is Common Core. What is the rest of it?
A Trojan Horse for Education Reform. because I discovered that, they're pretending that this is a innocuous, simple state standards program when it's really a national, top-down, federal program. And it's just in disguise. And
well, a lot of the teachers are really, at least in certain states, they're very upset about this, aren't they?
Yes, and the sad thing is about this program, in implementing it, Obama was able, by executive order, to change the FERPA law. The FERPA law stands for the Family Education Protection Act, and that's what has been protecting our children from having data collection going on. Well, Obama changed that, so now enormous data collection will happen on all of our children in the public schools, but not only that, also on the teachers. And the teachers are aware of this, and they're aware that they are constantly being evaluated. And if they dare to speak out against Common Core, they will be labeled as not being a good team player. So those teachers who have spoken out, they can't use their own names. And that's how they're trying to silence them.
And ladies and gentlemen, you must understand that this is a nationwide program. There are states, actually, where the teachers' organizations and union are up in arms trying to get the information out. And the fact you're not hearing about this on the major talk shows, on television, certainly in books or certainly in newspapers or magazines, simply reflects that it's all controlled. They don't want the people to know what they're doing to the minds and the hearts and the souls of our children. And they really want to destroy them. Now, let's briefly talk about the health implications of sitting in front of a computer all day long for a child. What is the health implications? Do we know the impact of those? The computers, certainly, on the children. What about the girls holding those things on their lap over their uterus and over their ovaries? Are there any studies to show that there are no damage to the children's health? And are there any studies that show that there are complications from the use of computers? We know that there are serious complications with the use of cell phones. We do know that men who carry a cell phone on their waist, on their belt, have about a 50% reduction in their sperm count over 5 years. Well, what about the effect on children? Do we have any idea how disastrous the electronic exposure is going to be for them, Orlene? I know that you have a chapter of that in your book. Tell us about it.
I actually have a chapter also in the book about smart meters, because I was told, don't worry about the smart meter. There's no more risk in the radioactive or the RF part of the smart meter. It's no worse than what the cell phone has. So I researched cell phones and cell phone towers, and that also let me know about the EMF that's coming from computers. But the sad thing is hardly any of this is revealed in the United States. There's studies galore in Europe and Austria, New Zealand, and Australia. But we really have an amazing media that kind of squelches this from coming into the United States.
And I really think that people have to understand, oh, we're so concerned about the wicked terrorists and, oh, the terrible danger to the American people. Ladies and gentlemen, we are under attack today by people in our own country. They do not allow GMO foods in Europe. They do not allow GMO foods in Africa, except in South Africa. But we have them here. They know that they produce cancer. They know they produce infertility. They know they have an impact on the brain. They know exactly how unhealthy they are. They know how unhealthy cell phones are, too, and they know it predisposes to cancer. As I said, there's studies that show it has a profound impact on the male sperm count. What is it doing to women? Why are we having a dramatic fall in the fertility of our people? Why are we having so many children born with certainly prenatal defects? But you're never going to hear these things discussed. Go right ahead. Tell us a little bit more about what are the dangers from the electronic exposure?
The cell phones are exactly like the computers. They all produce this non-ionizing radiation called EMF, or electromagnetic fields, and also the RF. And even the Encyclopedia Britannica said prolonged exposure to computer radiation leads to an increased risk of tumors, cancers, miscarriage, blood disorders, insomnia, headaches, anxiety, and skin disorders. And especially for a child who does not yet have their their bones strong enough, their skull is not so fully developed, the risk for them developing cancer using all of these computers and modern technology is much higher. In France, they will not allow children to bring cell phones to school because, under the age of 16 because they recognize this danger. But here, nothing is said about that.
In fact, we have little kids, 5 and 6, running around with cell phones, knowing full well that they actually increased significantly the incidence of brain cancer, incurable brain cancer in our children, and the fact that the parents are not warned. Well, this shows how effective thought control is in America. They know about it in Europe. Certainly the studies are there. You can look them up on the Internet. But nobody will call your attention to it because you're not supposed to know. The fate of your children, your grandchildren, or your great-grandchildren. Go right ahead, Arlene.
And they, for example, with autism, what we're finding out is obviously when mothers are expecting a child and using their laptop computer on top of their lap, obviously that's affecting the children. The rate of autism now in the world has skyrocketed. 20 years ago, it was 1 in 10,000. In 20 to 22, it was 1 in 150, and now it's 1 in 88 children. And with boys, it's 1 in 54 for boys.
1 in 54 boys, ladies and gentlemen. And basically, I do not believe it's exclusively, certainly, laptop computers or cell phones. I think the vaccines that contain mercury and aluminum, all of these things play a part. It's a cumulative effect, and they know about it. And they're just saying, well, we have no idea what causes this dramatic increase in autism from 2 in 10,000 to 1 in every 54 boys, but we can assure you that there's no danger with vaccines, and there's no danger with cell phones, and there's no danger with laptop computers. Assure us we can guarantee it. You can trust us. We would never lie to you because we're from the government, your government. Go right ahead, Arlene.
And what also is worrisome, you know, the children begin to be addicted to all of this computer use. That's how they're playing their computer games. And when they're now hooked to the computer at the schools, as well as at home, they say that it's actually 1 out of 10 children now that have an addiction. And you can kind of recognize that because the children, when the parents try to take them away from the computer or get them so they are not playing these games anymore, it's almost like they go through the same reaction as if they're addicted to a drug. And then, of course, the obvious easy access that sometimes they're able to have to pornography. They just have to learn to get around whatever security system their school supposedly put on it. But as I mentioned at your 3 o'clock broadcast, when I was substitute teaching in computer science, I was supposed to hook all the kids up to their computers and make sure they were doing what they were doing. And within 5 seconds, one of these young men had already accessed pornography.
How old was this boy?
Pardon?
How old was this boy?
They were in the 7th grade.
In the 7th grade. So basically, of course, we provide the computers so 7th graders can get to the pornography here, websites on their on their school issued computers. Now, basically, are there any other health effects from the electronic exposure that you were able to determine as you were researching this? Certainly, we know about.
Yes, there's also a big rise in the rate of leukemia in children, and it's now 1 out of every 15,000 gets cancer. They say that cancer kills more children than any other disease and is the second most common cause of death in children behind injuries. So that's on the rise as well. So I'm sure it's, you know, all sorts of cancer. But they say that it's not only the computers, but it's the Wi-Fi network that the schools are connected to. And where they have had computer labs going on for quite some time, maybe it's 5 to 7 years, build up that the teachers themselves, they call them cancer clusters, where the teachers are getting cancer who have been working in these computer labs for many years. So it's obviously there's a lot of risk to this, but nobody's telling the parents about this or the children.
Or the sure, the teachers, and I just hope the teachers will get your book and get that information. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got an attack on America, on our children, on our teachers, on the public. But the average individual has no idea that there is a population control agenda, that they really intend to kill off most of the people in the United States, but they will not allow the genetically modified food over there in Europe. Why? I mean, what's the difference? Well, very simply, because they do not, they've suppressed all information here in the United States about the very real danger of genetically modified food. And then, of course, we get off into certainly the danger that comes from the computers and electronics and cell phones and smart meters. But they don't have them in other countries. Why don't they have them? Because they're not good for the health. Why do we have them here? Because they're people who hate America, ladies and gentlemen. And many of them are working at the highest levels of our government today. Orlean, you go right ahead.
Okay. I do in this chapter about addictions and why this is so harmful. I have a picture of a little, this child looks like he could not even be a year old yet, and there he is playing a computer game, looking up at the screen. And I'm afraid parents are placing their children in front of computers and televisions at an earlier age just to keep them busy and entertain them, because parents are so busy themselves, and they need to realize that there's a real risk to this, and there's also a risk to the social skills that little children develop with other people. And if they don't have that bonding with other people, those social skills are not developed. And so that's all part of it as well. And I just think by putting kids in front of computers at the schools as well at their home, we're going to see more and more of some really strange behaviors and social skills not being developed, and addictions to more and more computers and computer games. So those are some of my concerns as well. But I've also discovered that they're not even planning to teach cursive anymore. If you Google Common Core curriculum and cursive, straight from the horse's mouth, they say the Common Core state standards do not include cursive writing at all. Instead, students are expected to become proficient with keyboarding skills.
Now, what do you mean they're not going to teach? They're not going to teach writing, or what are they
going
to?
Not going to teach cursive writing, just printing.
Okay.
Because kids only need to know how to print now if they're always using the computer. And when I was on your program before, a man called in from North Carolina, and he said that he's heard that kids won't even have to read or write to take their test. They can just speak into the computer. It's called part of the beta test, voice recognition software, and that will definitely help those who are foreign students who have not really learned to read or write in English. And another teacher from San Jose said she really believes that the goal is to have an illiterate nation.
Well, I really believe that's exactly what they intend. In fact, they already have an illiterate nation. Most of our people do not understand our Constitution. They don't understand history. And basically, one of the things that really disturbed me about this program was that it is specifically designed to actually delay the development of math skills. And you pointed out that they're going to hold off a year beginning to teach the children algebra. Is that correct?
That's right. Now, the children are being taught algebra in the 8th grade. With Common Core, that'll be postponed to the 9th grade, which causes it so that by their senior year of high school is when they normally would be able to have calculus. This will throw calculus right out of the whole picture, because there's no room for calculus now.
But basically, how do they justify this effort to hold the children back from developing algebra and learning algebra in the 8th grade? I mean, what possible justification would there be for that?
They're saying that children are being forced to learn too much and too much information. And with Common Core, they are narrowing it down to just some simple, really important math skills that will carry through with the rest of their life and not worry about all the many, many math skills they've had to learn before. So they're teaching a simplified geometry that really is so strange and weird that the Soviet Union threw it out. And it's never really had any success being taught, but they're going to try teaching it now. And
Hold that thought, Ardeen. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Gracie's Ardeen Cooler. We're talking about the Common Core. It's really the Common Core curriculum that's being introduced. Ardeen has written a book entitled Common Core, and we'll tell a little bit more about the book shortly. But I think it's vitally important that you understand that they really are changing the whole idea of reading and writing and arithmetic. As far as writing, they're going to teach the children to print, but you really won't have to learn to write because you're going to have a computer. They're not going to start studying algebra in the eighth grade as they traditionally have. They're going to start it in the ninth grade. And that way, of course, there won't be any time to teach calculus in the senior year. They'll have to wait till they get to college. But you see, if you take calculus, it makes your mind work. And they don't want the minds of these children to function and function normally. Then, of course, after algebra, you go to geometry, and they're changing geometry. They're going to adopt a system that was thrown out of the Soviet Union 40 or 50 years ago because it didn't work. How long ago was it thrown out of the Soviet Union, Arlene?
I think you're correct. It was about 50 years ago.
Okay, fine. It doesn't work. So we're going to bring it into our schools to teach our kids with a system that even the Soviets realized was certainly destructive. This is an effort to dumb down our students. And people say, who in their right mind would do this? And if this was really happening, wouldn't Rush Limbaugh be telling us? Well, I don't listen to Rush all the time. Maybe somebody who does listen to him could call in and tell us, but I don't think he's warning the people about the new core curriculum. And, of course, the phrase is Common Core. Common Core. It has to do with the curriculum. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Arlene, what's the title of your book? And tell us a little bit about it.
It's called Common Core, A Trojan Horse for Education Reform. And I truly believe that they're pretending this to be a state standards initiative when it's really top-down federal, really an international program, because this is being what they're using across the world to teach so many of the United Nations philosophies. And so for someone who thinks it was just created here in the United States, that's not true. I Googled Common Core Sustainable Development and Africa popped up. The exact same language, Common Core, and there was the term sustainable development. And
this has been the goal of the globalists, the elite who rule the world. For a long time, we had a caller this afternoon who pointed out that, I said, 20 years ago, 20 or over 20 years ago, there was a gentleman, certainly Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller, who was certainly one of the leading globalists, and he actually was pushing this idea of a global educational system. Who's in charge of this one? Who's putting this over on the American people today?
Well, they have, they call it a consortium of various people. They supposedly have written it, but according to an attorney, McGorty, who has been researching this, he refers to it as a cartel, and it is a combination of the Council of Chief State School Officers, the National Governors Association, a group that were formed by Obama, a group called Achieve, and many other people like the head of the College Board, ACT, the American College Test, and of course the teacher unions were involved. But a very interesting lady, Linda Darling Hammond, is really what they believe is behind the scenes doing this, and she is a education professor for Stanford.
No, wasn't there some gentleman over in England who really is sort of working in favor of this as well?
Yes, and the person in England who is pushing this is Sir Michael Barber. And Sir Michael Barber was knighted by Queen Elizabeth because of the education reform that he did in England, which was essentially what we have going here, but they just call it Common Standards instead of Common Core. But Sir Michael Barber also works for this amazing education publishing company called Pearson. And Pearson has offices in 70 nations. So that's how they're pushing Common Core through all those 70 nations.
And I think it's so important for people to understand that British royalty are part of this whole, what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. It's not only the British royalty, but royalty and other royal houses over in Europe. They want a one-world government under a ruling elite. And this is why the Queen would knight this gentleman who has come up with this program to control the minds of people throughout the world. There is a small little group people who are fabulously wealthy, who know exactly what they're doing. They're always going to get a good press. Oh, they're such nice people. Ladies and gentlemen, these are evil and wicked people. Part of a long-range plan to bring about a one-world authoritarian dictatorship where people will be crushed, those who are allowed to live. There is a population control program aimed to kill off most of the people in the world. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question, comment. We're talking about Common Core.
All across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so
well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Arlene Kula, and we're talking about this incredible Common Core program. It's a core curriculum, and basically it's a Common Core curriculum that will be used throughout the world to control the minds and the reality of our children. And teachers across America are upset about this, but they've been threatened and told if they speak out, of course, they'll be in real trouble. Now, isn't this program actually going to alter the fee schedule, the pay schedule for a lot of our teachers?
Well, it's actually already being done. This started under No Child Left Behind, President George W. Bush's program, where they were tying the teachers to tests, pretending that that was going to improve education, and 20 to 40% of the teachers' salaries are depending on how well the students do on tests. Well, they're really high-stake testing going on, and it's really, I think, for the most part, rigged, and that was one of the reasons why they had the big teacher strike in Chicago. They were told in the national media that this was because the teachers were wanting more money. Well, this lady, Amy Goodman, who is a kind of a liberal writer, she interviewed the teachers, and I thought it was so amazing that the truth came out with her interviews that we didn't get on any major media. The truth was that they were on strike because they were so opposed to this whole program of having to teach to the test, but also what was now coming down from the national government, which was really Common Core, which had been tried in Chicago when Ernie Duncan was the superintendent of schools there, and he's now the Secretary of Education for Obama. And they're pushing through a program that he tried in Chicago. It was called Renaissance 2010. It was a failed program there. Even the Chicago newspapers wrote about it, how failed it was. Well, now it's being thrust upon us as this national race to the top and Common Core program. So the teachers were really protesting that, and one man who was interviewed, a science teacher, said school had just started, this was in September, he had already had to give the students a test about DNA, they hadn't even been taught
anything.
Hold that thought,
we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Orlean was saying, I remember a few months ago when we had the strike, the teacher strike in Chicago, and we were told it was the greedy teachers who wanted more money, and they just weren't, they weren't going to the schools, and the schools were shutting down to the poor children. Well, the truth of the matter is, of course, you'd never get this from the controlled media, but the teachers there were upset by this whole educational program that was going to dumb down the students, and they didn't want this program in Chicago. And this was the only way they could oppose it. Now, you're never going to hear the truth from the media. The media is controlled, ladies and gentlemen, and the last thing they ever would want you to know is that there are actually teachers out there who are concerned because this program will effectively dumb down our students, and of course they're not going to be teaching the students. They're going to have to suddenly teach them to the test so they can pass the test, but this is not going to prepare them for life. Well, before we go on, let's go to one of our callers. It's Barbara from the SoCal area in California. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest is Arlene Kula, who's the California president of the Eagle Forum, of the Eagle Forum chapter here in California. Barbara, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I kind of both, actually. Arlene, is this Common Core, is this essentially just in the United States?
No, it is going on around the world. I don't know if you've heard the entire program, but Sir Michael Barber, who is really one of the instigators spreading it around the world, worked for the Pearson Publishing Company that has offices in 70 other lands, other nations, and they are doing the e-book for Common Core. So, of course, they are pushing this widely around the world, and it's essentially the same curriculum that we have in the United States under Common Core. So it's really dumbing down the entire world and really spreading United Nations jargon, such as sustainable development. And I did want to mention this. Barber has a formula. He calls it E times K plus T plus L, which stands for ethics times knowledge plus thinking plus leadership. And then you find out what his ethics are. Ethics to him means citizens of the world. And worshiping of Mother Earth.
Worshiping Mother Earth. Ladies and gentlemen, so much of what's going on today has to do with the intense hatred of Christianity. And it is these people who've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools and destroyed the morality, destroyed the souls of so many people. And now we see growing violence all across America, increasing crime. And we say, gee, why is this happening? Barbara, do you have another question for our guest?
That leads to another question. Arlene, are other countries agreeing with this system?
I think, for the most part, people are just maybe finding out about it now as well. My friend that I got a lot of this information from, who lives in England, and you know her as well, Dr. Stan Fern Abbott.
Sure, Fern's a good friend. In fact, she's an American, and very often she'll actually come back to America for our conferences, but she lives over in England. Go ahead.
Well, she told me that it's called Common Standards in England, but she had to do a little bit of research to find that. So I think it's the same thing. They've kept it hidden until now. They think that all of their ducks are in the row to start implementing it. You'll actually, if you Google Common Core and Contra Costa Times, the Contra Costa Times newspaper has been writing quite a few articles about this that I have put in the appendix of my book because they're so revealing. But it wasn't until just this fall they finally are writing anything about it. So they're thinking now it's fully ready to go. Now we can start talking about it, thinking it's too late for anyone to oppose it.
Okay, anything else, Barbara?
No, I just want to thank Arlene for all she's doing and, you know, helping people realize that, you know, this is just going to destroy the ability of children to spell, to think regarding mathematics. It's just destroying their ability to think.
Well, what I am so concerned about, because I was an English teacher, is what it's doing to English literature. It used to be that 80% of all the reading that the students did in the schools was classical literature. That has been lowered to 50%, and I think in California even less than that, so that they will only be taught the kind of reading to read a computer manual, just informational text. And that's very disturbing to me because I think you learn so many great truths from classical literature.
Amen to that. Well, thank you. Anything else, Barbara?
No, I just want to agree with Arlene all the way. Thank you so much, Arlene, for all you're doing.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay, now before we have Paul calling from Galveston, we'll be to Paul in just a moment. Our telephone number again here at Radio Liberty is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here at the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Before we get to Paul, Orlean, would you like to get out your website and your telephone number?
Yes. The name of the book is Common Core, A Trojan Horse for Education Reform, and you can either order it directly from me. From my phone number is 707-539-8393, or you can go to the website, which is www.smallhelmpress.org. And small is like tiny, S-M-A-L-L, and helm, the helm of a ship, H-E-L-M, and then press, P-R-E-S-S.
Okay, fine. Let's go to now. We have Paul calling us from Galveston. Hi, Paul. How are we doing?
We're doing great. How are you, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing fine. Now, how are you hearing us there in Galveston? Are you hearing us on the Internet? Or
I'm on the Internet.
Okay, very good. How are we coming through?
You're coming through great.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, a question and a comment. I once wanted to be a history teacher, and then I saw the curriculum that they were teaching, and they weren't showing the whole truth. And while you're on education, I had done research and found that Rockefeller had started the first Department of Education. I don't know if it was called that. But can you speak on that?
Would you like to comment on that, Orlean, that Rockefeller has been involved in education and what is the Department of Education?
Oh, yes. They've been trying to form a Department of Education for a long, long time, but it wasn't until they got President Jimmy Carter in that it finally happened. And it was payback to the NEA, the National Education Association, who were the labor union that did the most to get him elected. They donated more money towards his campaign than anyone else. So he pushed really hard and finally got this federal Department of Education.
There you have it, Paul. Of course, the Rockefellers have always wanted to control the minds of their subjects, and they look upon us as subjects. Go ahead. Do you have another question or comment?
No, Dr. Stan, I just love listening to your program because it brings light to what's really happened. You have a great guest on to shed light on it and to wake people up.
Well, that's all we can do. I hope you'll get the people down there in Galveston listening. Keep talking to them about it, and so they, hopefully a few of them will tune in. That's all we can do. God bless. Thanks so much. And let's, of course, now then go to Ron, who's calling us from Washington State. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And is this the Ron who's the substitute teacher?
That's correct, sir.
Okay, it's good to have you with us. So Ron's a regular caller and always enjoy what he has to say. You have a question or comment for us?
Well, about this Common Core curriculum, what subjects are they going to incorporate in this Common Core curriculum?
Well, right now it's math and English. They've got the standards through for math and the English curriculum, but this year they're doing the science and social studies, history, everything else. So pretty soon it'll be every subject that is now part of the Common Core, and every subject will be taught online with e-books.
And so, Ron, you won't have to worry about doing anything other than certainly supervising their use of the computer in the classroom before long. And so, basically, of course, we don't even necessarily have any teachers to do that. This is laying the foundation for the destruction of the educational profession. Go right ahead, Ron.
Well, I think they've probably already destroyed a lot of it. I just wanted to point out, having math, Common Core curriculum, you know, it's pretty innocuous. Pythagorean theorem is the Pythagorean theorem wherever you go. Sine squared plus cosine squared equals one. It doesn't matter, what country you're in. So, what could they mess up with that?
Well, what they can mess up with is they don't start teaching algebra till the 19th term, and there's no time in the curriculum for calculus. They'll have to get that to college. And basically, they want to bring in a different type of geometry so that you won't use the traditional geometry. You'll use a system that was used in Russia 50 years ago and failed. That is what's wrong with it.
And well, Ron, let me tell you that there was a man who was asked to be part of the committee to approve this Common Core, and he was a math professor, and he's the one that he refused to sign off on the committee. He said this is really dumbing down math standards, and he was, I think, the only mathematician on the committee to approve it. And, you know, and then the same with an English professor. She's the one that would refuse to sign off on the English because she said this is, she did not want 80% classical literature to be lowered to 50% or even less. So the real experts on this know that this is destroying and really harming math as well as English.
So, Ron, you think there's anything wrong with this idea then?
Well, that's not my point at all.
Well, have you studied up on this at all? Have you gone into the background of what's being done?
Well, I've been to some school board meetings when I wasn't persona non grata, and I have to watch what I say or I won't be substitute teaching at it.
Okay, fine.
In that district or anyplace else. But, I watched some people, approving a textbook. And the textbook, one of the criteria was that in these word problems that they give them, that women are always portrayed in non-traditional roles. So you'll never, you know, the female, you know, the lady alligator wrestler, whatever it is, you'll never see anything, the housewife or the grandmother or anything like that. They're pushing to get our young gals discontented with the thought of becoming a housewife.
You know, you're really right, Ron, and I know that some of the groups that have been fighting this in Utah, they say that the math curriculum for Common Core is so full of really strange things, and they say special interest groups have been able to have such an influence, like pushing feminism, or there's one question that they actually were able to get this e-book thrown out in Utah because it was so politically correct math. They were, one of the questions was asking, for a word problem, there's a serial killer going around in your community. If he should break into your home, what would you do to stop him? And, of course, they're probably trying to find out if the people have a gun in the home. And if the child says, well, I get my father's gun out, who knows? They could not figure out why such a question would be in a math textbook or a math e-book.
But I don't think you're going to have to worry about the textbooks, Ron, because it's going to do away with the textbooks. It's all going to
be on
the
computer. Yeah, but it'll be on these e-books. It'll
right.
be on the computer.
Right, but it will not be textbooks. We will not be using textbooks. It'll all be universal, international, global. Won't that be wonderful?
Actually, it wouldn't be wonderful.
No,
The kids don't belong to the universal globalist. They belong to the parents.
Well, but you see, that's old-fashioned thinking. After all, the elite know far better what's good for our children than the parents do. What do they know about children? I'm saying these things facetiously.
I know you're being facetious.
Go ahead, Ron. Make your point.
Well, anyway, there are some dysfunctional parents out there. There's no question about that. But most are not. Best interest of their kids at heart. This is, to me, it's absolutely seditious, and it's time that we took it back.
And it's diabolical in my estimation. Orlean, once again, I want you to tell our listeners the name of your book and how they can get it.
It's Common Core, A Trojan Horse for Education Reform, and they can get it from the website www.smallhelmpress.org or by calling me directly. 707-539-8393.
One more time, always get the number out twice.
707-539-8393.
And Ron, do you have anything else you'd like to say this evening?
No, but I just appreciate that lady's work, and the more information we get out, the more people start pushing back at school boards, because I can tell you, in the school districts in which I substitute, it's being pushed right now.
It is. It's being pushed everywhere. And my suggestion is that since it's the school districts themselves that have to fund this, that's the best way to try to stop it. Just go and say, I refuse to allow my taxpaying dollars to be used for something I do not agree with. And start speaking out about it that way. A few years ago in California, we had success stopping something similar. It was called the CLASS test, California Learning Assessment System, which was really just assessing the children's attitudes. And I think that's exactly what Common Core is doing, trying to change their attitudes. And then when the assessment test comes out in 2014, they say it's going to be full of open-ended questions and essays rather than multiple choice or true and false that actually test for facts. So I'm sure it's all about changing attitudes as well. And that's how we fought it in California. Then we got school districts who refused to even give the test. And finally, the governor just threw it out back in, it was in 1996. It was finally stopped.
And Ron, what we have to do is get the people informed, and we have to get them up in arms, and we have to realize the damage it's going to do to their children. And what parents really understand what this is all about, they may not understand all the intricacies of the Brotherhood of Darkness and all the things we talk about here, but they're concerned about children. And once they understand here's a program designed to hurt children, to destroy their ability to learn what they need to in school, to get a proper education in mathematics, and the fact that they're certainly going to be introducing a form of geometry that just doesn't work, and they're going to put off certainly the introduction to algebra for another year, and there will no longer be calculus available in high schools for the students because they won't be able to get to that. Ladies and gentlemen, people have to understand there really are wicked people who want to change our educational system and control the hearts and the minds and the souls of our children. Parting thoughts, Ron, before we let you go.
Well, I just want to say both of you keep up the good work.
We will. God bless. Thanks very much for calling. And that's Ron calling from Washington State. And, of course, our guest this evening, Orlean Coulomb. Her book, Common Core, and Common Core, you can get it by calling her. Go up on the internet and look up, type in Orlean Coulomb, O-R-L-E-N-E-K-O-E-H-L-E, Orlean Coulomb, and this is me. We'll be putting together a four-tape set on this. We don't have it ready yet, but it's vitally important that we have a DVD, a talk that Orlean gave at our last conference. You can call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for Orlean Coulomb's DVD. Well, Orlean, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, for having me on. I so appreciate you and your good expertise and all the good comments that you have. I did want to make one mention to the man who called in. Was it Galveston, Texas that he called from?
Yes, it was.
We thought, well, yay, Texas is free from this because their governor refused to sign on to Common Core. There were only 4 states that would not go along with this, and Texas was one of them. But then I discovered Texas has something that is probably as bad or worse. And so in the new edition of my book, I have an appendix now at the back that talks about this program in Texas. It's called C-Scope. And this was created by the Texas Education Service Center Curriculum Collaborative, which is really part of the Texas State School Board. And it is just as bad. It's total online learning, but they won't even let the parents find out what is being taught. The children don't have homework, so the parents can't see it. And when the parents ask to see the curriculum, they're not allowed to see it. And the teachers have to sign a gag order saying that they will not let any information be shared outside of the school.
Well, then if a parent knows about that, they should take their child out of that school, because then, of course, the school won't get any money from the state. Start talking to other parents and let them know what they're doing to the souls of their children.
That's right.
You don't get a second chance.
80% of the school districts in Texas are using this. That's how deeply it's gone. So just Google C-Scope, C-S-C-O-P-E, and more information is popping up about it now. So even Texas is not free of this, and I'm afraid C-Scope is kind of like a warning for where we're headed. Maybe one of these days they'll say, oh, no, the parents can't see what Common Core is being taught either. And so there's just so many warnings that we should be aware of. Glenn Beck had a program in Texas about C-Scope just a few weeks ago. so his show is beginning to reveal it as well. And I think he actually also mentioned Common Core, I've heard about, so maybe a little bit more is coming out about it. But I do want parents to realize that it's not too late. We've got to stand up and fight this. It's the souls of your children that are at risk. The future of our nation is at risk. And we can't let this program continue on. So please go to your school board, speak out. If you go to my website, you'll find some talking points you can download and use those to use for speaking out at your school board meetings.
Okay, well, God bless you. Thanks for everything you're doing, Arlene.
Bless you, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
God bless. And of course, our guest this evening has been Arlene Coulomb, and she's doing the fundamental work to help you understand this Common Core curriculum. Certainly, this is the Common Core that is going to transform education and be used to destroy the souls of our children. They really know what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, and we need your help to get this information out. We do have a DVD, which you can order. And now, of course, if you call the exchange, they won't know about it, but we'll put you on the list. That DVD should be available within a week. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. When Arlene gives an excellent talk at our October conference on that. And so these will be available shortly. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do need to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and we're dependent upon those of you out in the audience who are concerned about America, who are concerned about freedom, who are concerned about Christianity and the attack on Christianity, and the fact that there are evil and wicked people within our own nation who are intent upon destroying this nation. The enemy is not in Tehran. The enemy is not certainly in the Middle East or the Near East or in Beijing or in Moscow. The enemy is right here in New York City at the Rockefeller Foundation and the other great tax-exempt foundations, at the Council on Foreign Relations, at the headquarters of the Trilateral Commission. Go to their website, trilateral.org, and look at their logo. If you look closely, you'll see three curved arrows. And if you look, use your imagination, look at the inside of the arrows, you can almost imagine that they're sixes. Six, six, six. Bound together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross. They know what they're doing. It's a Luciferian organization. Its goal is world government and the destruction of Christianity. And the man who organized this is a man named David Rockefeller. And on page 405 of his memoirs, he talks about a membership in a secret cabal that is working against the best interests of the United States, conspiring with others throughout the world to bring about a more global economic and political structure. One world, if you will, and he says, if that's the charge, I am guilty, and I'm proud of it. You must understand what's going on. We carry David Rockefeller's memoirs. We have an excellent DVD. It's called World Revolution, where we quote David Rockefeller, and you can actually hear my interview and watch my interview with Ambassador Smith, and of course, Ambassador Smith was the American ambassador to Cuba when we installed Fidel Castro. He didn't win the revolution. We installed him there. If you read David Rockefeller's memoirs, you'll find out the close relationship that David Rockefeller describes between his daughters and Fidel Castro, and the fact that Fidel Castro came up to visit David Rockefeller. And I'm sure they sat around and laughed at how stupid the American people are. Read David Rockefeller's memoirs. Watch my interview with Ambassador Smith in the DVD World Revolution. Get my latest talk. It's on Agenda 21 of the covert plan, and get the syllabus that goes with that. Get my talks on the dark secret and on the forbidden secret and the syllabuses to go with them. There's so much information at Radio Liberty. We do hope that, of course, many of you will be in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us financially or advertise with us or certainly donate to us or certainly you can get the various items that we sell. It all goes into helping you fund the radio stations that carry us. Certainly we're on 5 hours every day on radio stations all across America, but we need to be on more. We're certainly on the Micro Effect Network. We're certainly on the Radio Liberty Network. We're on the Genesis Network. We're on the American Christian Network. We're on the Christian Broadcasting Network. Our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. But quite frankly, we need your help if we're going to be able to continue doing what we're doing and trying to awaken the American people while there's still time for moving into a crisis situation. This is not happening by accident. It's happening very real, and certainly whether it'll be an economic collapse, I don't know. But please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. It's all about the truth, wherever we can find it. You're going to enjoy our guest in this next hour. Now, if you want to hear We're All Going to Die by Friday stuff, you probably won't be interested. Tamara Keats gives you a lot of hope, and that's what it's all about in this next hour. So Tamara Keats will be joining us in about 8 minutes, so stay tuned for that, please. And then a favorite of ours, Josh's. Rick from Rick Satellite. Oh, we're going to give away a satellite dish system.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. Giving away a satellite dish system is always a fun thing to do. Real quickly, I want to cover the fact that the talking points on television for West Nile fever virus are all the same, no matter who you're listening to. And like I said, I think I've heard about the DEET warning and the West Nile fever virus on every show except Home Shopping Network and DIY. But that's open. I don't know. It may have been on there also. However, they decided, you know, that everybody needs to use DEET, D-E-E-T, which is what the military uses, which got so many people into trouble during the Gulf War. They used it in the very desert areas. Now, the U.S. EPA estimates that 30% of the U.S. population applies DEET every year.